Okay, now we're really ready to start rolling. We got all that preliminary material out of the way, and now we can really start getting into the part that I like to talk about and exciting. That's the actual how-tos of the study methods. It's exciting to me. Okay, these are these 12 methods that basically you can summarize most methods of Bible study into one of these 12. That's not to say there aren't more, but what I'm just saying is that basically they'll fit under one of these categories. And we're going to start with the devotional method, which is the very, very simplest, easiest method of Bible study that there is. A brand new Christian can begin to do these first two methods the very day he becomes a Christian, without any reference tool. And that's why they're so easy. Now, would you take your those packets out, and let's just look at the forms right here at the start. Let me say again, if you didn't catch that, if you weren't in here when Max was here, just ignore this copyright and just use these any way you want to. Change them, rearrange them, print them, whatever you want to. We just want to get the word out, mainly. All right, the first two, you ought to have two copies of each one, do you? Of each form? Okay, the first one says devotional study, and it has a ways to meditate and make your application. You see that? That form right there can be used in a quiet time. Now, the reason we do it is there's just a little passage, a little room for each day, and it goes one form will cover a week's material. Now, the reason why I dated these like this, Sunday through Saturday, is I found in my own quiet time, if I have something like this to keep me going, it helps me be consistent to write something down. Because I'm enough of a perfectionist that if that I get at the end of the week and I look back and I've got a blank, I feel bad about it. And I just sometimes need that little added impetus to, you know, get me to write down what I need to do. So if I've got something dated, then it just gives me that little extra courage to write something down. So you might, you know, could use this if you want to in a quiet time. We'll explain this in just a minute. Now, the second one is also called a devotional study form, and exactly the same, only just gives you more space. And this is what you'd do if you were really going to, you know, just do a meditation of a passage. And so, if you'll just take this one here, the one that's bigger, gives you more space, one of those, and we'll look at that in just a minute. All right, then we have chapter summary, and we have an example of each of the different methods that we'll be talking about. So you can put them all back in your folder except for the devotional study, this one here, that's the big one. There's no date on it. We'll be talking about that method. Now, some of you may be wondering and saying, you know, why in the world are you trying to have 12 different methods of study? The reason why is because no one study method will cover all the types of literature that there are in the Bible. You know, you just can't do one method for the whole Bible. There are different types of literature, so you've got to have different parts or different types of study. So we're going to go a little bit faster in this session so we can cover more material and, you know, not take so long. But variety is a spice of life, and what I want to suggest that you do is after you've learned several of these different ones, that you begin to alternate them. And don't get stuck. You know, if you do chapter summary for the rest of your life, you're going to get pretty bored with Bible study. So you do a character study one day, and maybe another week you do a topical study. And then later on you do a devotional or thematic or character. You know, just alternate so you keep it exciting. And you don't just get bored with one little routine. We need a balance between what's called a microscopic study and the telescopic. Microscopic is when you look at the little details of the passage. Telescopic is when you look at the overall general view, the viewpoint. And some of these are telescopic methods, and some of these are microscopic methods. Now, this just excites me no end, because you see, for instance, I can teach you how to do a character study, and, you know, then you can go off and do 2,000 on your own, because there's, you know, at least that many different characters. I can teach you how to do a word study, and there are 14,000 different Hebrew and Greek words in the Bible. You can go off and do 14,000 different word studies. So, you know, it just excites me because I can share with you in a small amount of time something that will keep you going for the rest of your life. You'll never be able to study the entire Bible and, you know, drain it dry. So, let's start with the devotional study. Now, if you're taking notes, you could also call this session How to Apply Scripture to My Life. Because that's basically what we're going to talk about in the devotional study. Devotional study is really just the simplest little meditation of Scripture that you would use in a quiet time. And you would teach us, if you want a person to the Lord and you're just starting basic follow-up, before I would do anything else, I would teach them how to do a devotional study. Because here's one of our problems that we do. Now, I don't have anything against fill-in Bible studies, because I think they're good. But you will reproduce what you are. You know that. And book filler-inners produce book filler-inners. But if you'll get a person studying the Scripture directly from the Scripture themselves, where they've just got a few little tools in their mind on a devotional or chapter summary, then you've immediately got them into the Word instead of into maybe an artificial tool that I wrote or something like that. So, devotional study is what we'll start off with, how to apply Scripture. Now, remember in our first session we said that one of the main principles of Bible study, the ultimate goal of Bible study is what? Application, not just interpretation. Right. Now, since that's true, it's important to see that before you learn any method, you got to learn how to apply Scripture. So what I'm going to do in this session is teach you how to apply Scripture to your life. And after you've done that, then every time you come to each one of these studies, when it says application, you go up and you do what we call devotional study when you do it all alone. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? When you just apply Scripture, you're just writing out an application by yourself. That's the only thing you do. You call it devotional method. But in every one of these methods, at the end, you apply what you've learned. And the way you apply it is the same way you apply it in the devotional study. So what I'm going to share with you now is how to apply Scripture to my life. Now, there are three key words in devotional study. And the three key words are meditation, application, and memorization. Those are the three key words, and that summarizes all of what devotional method is all about. Meditation, application, and memorization. And if you've been observant, you'll see that those are the exact three words that are on your form. So it's no big revelation. Now, if you didn't, that just shows that you weren't observant and you need to work on that look, okay? And when we use this method, we call it devotional. Let me give you a definition of a devotional study. The devotional method involves taking a passage of the Bible, and prayerfully meditating on it. Until the Holy Spirit shows me a way. The devotional method involves taking a passage of the Bible and prayerfully meditating on it until the Holy Spirit shows me a way to apply the truth to my own life. Shows me a way to apply the truth to my own life. In other words, the goal of the devotional method is what we talk about in James 1:22, being a doer of the word. You want to apply it to your life. Now, why is application so important? Well, the main reason, as I said, D.L. Moody said, the Bible wasn't given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And the Bible was given to change us. And if it's not changing us, we're missing the purpose. You don't really know the Scriptures unless you've applied it. We talked about that in last session. Pharisees, Jesus said, you don't know the Scriptures. You err not knowing the Scriptures. Why? They hadn't applied it. You really don't know the Word of God if you haven't applied it. It is dangerous to study the Word of God without applying it. Three reasons why it's dangerous to study the Word without applying it. Number one, because knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. That's 1 Corinthians 8:1. That says love edifies. Now, even Satan knows the Word of God intellectually, And you see, it's not really how much Bible you know, but how much you've applied that counts. Knowledge puffs up. And the easiest way to become full of spiritual pride is just get a bunch of head knowledge of the Word and not let it affect your character. Second reason why it's dangerous to study the Word without applying it is because knowledge requires action. James 1:22, be doers of the Word. Also in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 26, you know the parable of the house built on sand and the house built on the rock. Jesus says there in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 26, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it, verse 27, and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it, the one that didn't hear. Looking for that. Jesus says, if you hear his word but don't apply it, he will liken you unto a fool. But if you do apply it, if you hear it and do it, then you're a wise man. The third reason is because, and I mentioned this earlier, knowledge increases responsibility. James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So with that, a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding of the Word of God, comes a stronger judgment if you fail to apply it. That was, I think, Milton, who once said, the end of all learning is to know God, and out of that knowledge, to love Him and be like Him. Now, if that doesn't sum it up, you know, I don't know what does. Milton said, the end of all learning is to know God, and out of that knowledge, to love Him and be like Him. And the end of all Bible study is to know God, and out of that knowledge, to love Him and be like Him. Now, why is it so hard to apply Scripture to our lives? You will find that when you do a topical study, you'll have a great time writing out a topic and understanding it all. And then when you get down to putting it into practice and applying it, you're going to have a hard time. And it'll seem really frustrating to you. Why is it so hard? Well, it doesn't just happen by accident. You've got to plan your application. If you don't plan to make an application, you won't do it. It just doesn't happen by accident. Now, here's some reasons why it's hard to apply Scripture to your life. First reason, because it requires thinking. You got to think. A lot of times you'll have to sit down and just really concentrate. It'll take a long period of meditation, prayerful thinking before the Lord will reveal an area of your life to which this area, problem, timeless principle, can be applied to, this problem. But it takes concentration. Another reason is that Satan is going to fight you. Satan doesn't care if you study the Word as long as you don't apply it. So Satan will attack you viciously. That's why he fights quiet time so long, because it's this type of study, an application study, a devotional study. Satan hates doers of the Word, and he'll let you study as long as you don't get serious about applying it. The third reason is because we naturally resist change. We don't like the change, and so when application comes along, you can't apply Scripture usually without changing something. Something you need to stop doing, something you need to start doing, an attitude you need to change. And we naturally resist it. Now, meditation is the key to a devotional method. Meditation is the key. Now, we don't need to go into this a whole lot, because I'm sure Max and Chuck and these different, you know, your different leaders have talked to you about meditation before. Basically, meditation is thought digestion. I know you probably heard it said that the synonym for meditation in a thesaurus is rumination. And rumination is what a cow does with its cud. It chews its cud, and then it swallows it, and it lets it set it there for a while, and burps it back up, chews it some more, as Gothard says, with renewed flavor, you know, and then swallows it again. And what it is doing is it is squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and straining every bit of vitality out of that blade of grass. And meditation is thought digestion. It is not putting your mind in neutral and just going, okay, Lord, you put a thought in it. Meditation is thinking. It is concentration on the Word. Now, I'm going to suggest to you 8 ways that you can meditate on a Scripture right now. Here are 8 practical ways that I like to meditate on the Scripture. The first way that you can do it is to ponder it. ponder it. In other words, mull it over in your mind and think about it. Concentrate it. Concentrate on it over a period of time, and just ponder it in your mind. The Bible says that we're to ponder the path that we walk on. And in contrast, it says that the immoral man and the immoral woman does not ponder the path that they're going. You know why God used Mary? Why was Mary blessed to have the birth of Jesus? Because the Bible says that Mary pondered the things that God told her and hid them in her heart. It said when the angels came and spoke to the shepherds, it said the shepherds wondered, but Mary pondered. And there's a big difference. See, a lot of people will come to Bible study and they'll hear it and they'll go, "Oh man, that was miracles." And they'll get all excited. And they'll say, "That was great," and they're all emotionally excited. But they forget it the minute they walk out of the study. Other people, they'll ponder it. They took notes, they'll go home, they'll think about it. And that's the person that God's going to bless. So think about it in your mind. Another way that you can meditate is to picture it. Picture it. In other words, visualize the scene in your mind. Think on it over and just picture it. You know, this is the way that you meditate on a narrative. You meditate on a narrative by just picturing it in your mind. For instance, if you're reading about the woman at the well, picture yourself. How would I feel if I were that woman? What would my emotion be? What would I feel like if Jesus said that to me? How would I feel if I were the disciple? Get emotionally involved in the text and put yourself in it and picture yourself. Visualization is the way you meditate on a part of history or a story. All right? Another way you can meditate is to pronounce it. Pronounce it. For instance, let's say I was going to meditate on John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." All right? One way I could do that is to pronounce it. And what you do is you go through it each time and you emphasize a different word. You know, the first time you say it through aloud, "I am the way." And you stop and you think about it. "I am the way." He didn't say Buddha was the way. He didn't say Muhammad was the way. He didn't say, Nixon was the way. He said, "I am the way." Then you go, "I am the way." You say it again, emphasizing the second word. "I am the way." He didn't say, "I might be the way." He didn't say, "I could be the way." He didn't say, "I hope to be the way." He said, "I am the way." "I am the way." "I am the way." You think about that. "I am the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways." He didn't say, "I'm a good way." He didn't say, "I'm the best way." He said, "I am the way." Okay? "I am the way." Think way. The way to what? The way to happiness. The way to purpose in life. The way to freedom from sin. The way to freedom over fear of death. You know, and you think about it, and you'll get a different aspect each time. That's just one of the ways you can meditate. Another way that you can meditate is to paraphrase it. Paraphrase it. Do I have anything I could wipe this off with? Paraphrase it. Just put it in your own words and pray it back to, and say it back to God. Put it in your own language. If you read Living Bible, it's already paraphrased. But paraphrase it. Another way you can meditate is to pray it. Pray it back to God. Just turn it around. If you want an example of this, just use the Psalms. You know, a lot of the Psalms are in the first person. You can say, "Lord, make this my prayer." And just say, "Lord," and pray the psalm back to God. That's a form of meditation. Now, you can do these different methods and see each method will work on a different type of scripture. For instance, that pronouncing it, you're not going to use that when you're just reading a story. You know, if I open up the scripture, and Jesus, when he was baptized, all right? If I just pronounce that, I'm not going to get anything out of it. "And Jesus when he was baptized." 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 You know, you're not really getting too much out of it. You want to use a different type of meditation for a different type of scripture, a different, you know, category of scripture. On a narrative, you'll use a visualization. You know, I was reading the other day and sharing with somebody, and he said, well, I was trying to meditate, and he said, I was using that one, it came to pass. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. And it came to. You know. By the way, I heard a guy who said, we were asking him for favorite verses, and he said, that he stood up and said, my favorite verse is it came to pass. And he said, why is that? And he said, well, because then I know when trials come along that they didn't come to stay, they just came to pass. You know, they're just going to pass over, they're not going to stick around. Well, that's not, I'm not sure about the proper interpretation of that verse, but good application. So you can paraphrase it, you can pray it, you can pronounce it, picture it, probe it, and that's the last one, you can probe it. Probe it. Now probe it. Did I tell you practice it? Did I say personalize it? Well, thanks. You guys are coming up with them too. Anybody got any more P's they want to put in here? Penetrate it. How about that one? Personalize it. In other words, I'm sorry I left that one out. Personalize it is when you put your name in it. You've all heard preachers get up and say, put your name in John 3:16. For God so loved Rick Warren that he gave his only begotten son, that if Rick would believe in him, Rick would not perish, but Rick would have eternal life. You can personalize it. Put your name in it. Practice it. Put it into practice. And the way you do that is you think up a project. Think up a project that you can put into practice. For instance, soft answer turneth away wrath. You're meditating on that verse? You might think of a project where you can work on, you know, giving a soft answer to turn away wrath. And then you can probe it. Now, how do you probe a passage? Well, there are 9 questions that I like to use in a meditation study when I'm trying to probe a passage of Scripture. And I base it on this little acrostic, space pets. It helps me remember the different types of questions you can use. Now, I'm sure you've heard these questions. Here's just a little acrostic. You can help remember these. Space pets. When you probe a passage of Scripture, the first thing you can ask, is there any sin to confess? Is there any sin to confess in this passage? You know, you find a sin, maybe there's something that you've had in your life you need to get rid of. All right, P. Is there any promise to claim? Is there any promise to claim? Okay, A. And this is the one that usually gets me. Is there any attitude to change? Any attitude to change? Maybe it's a negative quality you need to forsake, or a positive quality you need to build into your life. C. Is there any command to obey? You know? And say, Lord, I'm going to do this no matter how I feel. Any command to obey? E. Is there any example to follow? And look for the results of, you know, what will following this example. You read a good story, you know, in Scripture. See, is there some example I can follow here? All right, that's the space part. Here's the pets part. Now, you can just think of a little, you know, doggy in an astronaut outfit, okay? Or a little kitty with a helmet on or something flying up in the space. So you've got your space pets. Okay, the P here, is there any prayer to pray? There are a lot of scriptures, right, in the passage that you can just pray back to God. By the way, if you ever want to know what to pray for somebody, pray the prayers of Paul. Beginning of every letter, Paul prays a prayer for the people. You can pray that for somebody and know it'll be answered because it's God's will, because it's inspired. It's in the Scripture. Well, anytime you want to pray prayers Paul for me, prayers Paul, Paul's prayers for me, that's fine because they're inspired. All right, E. Is there any error to avoid? Error to avoid. Okay, T. Is there any teaching to believe? Maybe any truth or teaching to believe. A doctrinal statement. Maybe a doctrinal statement about God, about sin, or about Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or Second Coming. And then S, and I like this one, Is there something to praise God for? I always like to try to find something in the passage I'm looking for that I can just praise God for. That's how you can probe a passage of Scripture. All right? You got that down? Okay, let's have a little review here. Let's just see if you can remember any of that. Okay, without looking at your notes, what's S? Sin to confess. P. Okay. A. Attitude to change. C. Command to obey. E. Errors to avoid. P. Prayer to pray. E? Did we say C? Command to obey. And E. Example to follow. Right. Example to follow. P is prayer to pray. E, error to avoid. T, okay. And S, something to praise God for. Okay, that's just a simple way that you can meditate on a scripture to look for an application in your life. All right? Now, here's how you do a devotional study. Here are the steps for doing a devotional study. Okay, number one is you pray for insight on how to apply the scripture to your life. Okay? Just pray for insight. Now, you can be certain before you even study any passage of scripture that God wants you to do two things about that scripture. Number one, He wants you to obey it. And number two, He'll want you to share it. Obey it and share it. You can be certain right from the start there. Number one is pray for insights on how to apply the scripture. Step two is then meditate on the passage. Meditate on the passage. That's the second thing you do. And how do you meditate? Well, simple. Just one of those ways or any other way you might come up with. You can picture it in your mind. You can paraphrase it. You can pray it to God. You can personalize it. You can ask those space pets questions. Any one of those meditation ways or any other way that you can come up with to mull it over in your mind and consider what you can pull out of it. And write down in your meditation what you did. If you found a sin to confess, write it down. If you paraphrase it, write out your paraphrase. If you're praying it back to God, write out your prayer. Whatever you're doing, just write it in the little meditation section. And then, after your meditation, you want to draw out an application from your meditation. In other words, you want to put it into practice. All right? How do you put it into practice? Okay? Here's what you do. Number one, you determine whether the truth is for a local situation or a universal principle. In other words, is it a temporary rule or is it a timeless principle? For instance, when the apostles sent the apostles back up to Antioch in Acts, and they said, "Now we want you to go up there and tell those Gentile Christians, that it's okay, they're safe. Just tell them not to eat any meat, bloody meat. And don't eat any rare meat." Okay, what does that mean? Does it mean you shouldn't eat any rare meat? Well, you need to check out whether it is a temporary rule or a timeless principle. Is it a custom? For instance, when it says that a woman in church in Corinthians should have her head covered, is that a temporary rule based on the culture? Because of what was going on at that time, and Max has probably explained this to you, about the immoral culture at that time, and a woman with uncovered head was considered immoral. Or is it a timeless principle? If it was just a local rule, look for the principle underneath it. There are timeless principles beneath every rule of the Bible. When you go back and you study the Old Testament, study Leviticus and the offerings and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the law, there are principles beneath every one of those rules. Look for basic principles. That's the key to application. Look for basic principles, and then the next step is find a modern situation to which it can relate. Find some kind of situation that I can relate this principle to. I'll give an example of this in a minute if it seems sort of cloudy to you right now. Look for a modern situation that you can apply the truth. And then finally, apply it to that situation. Apply it to that situation. All right, how do you apply it? Application, the next step. Okay, step one is, remember, you pray for insight. Step two, you meditate on the passage using one of these 8 or 9 different ways of meditating. Step three is write out an application. All right? An application ought to have 4 factors. All right? Write these down. Number one, it ought to be personal. Number two, it ought to be practical. Number three, it ought to be possible. And number four, it ought to be provable. Now, those are the 4 factors you want to have when you're writing out an application of the Word of God. First thing, it ought to be personal. You always write an application in the first person. I need to do such and such. You know? Not, well, the world needs to love everybody. Or the church needs to get going. You know, always make it personal. I need to do it. Practical. Make it something that you do. An action. Practical. Something that you have some kind of plan of action or strategy or project. Think of a little project that you can do. Possible. It ought to be something that you can accomplish, otherwise you're going to get discouraged. If you make big generalized application, you won't get anywhere. You know, I got to love the whole world. What an application. Broad generalities lead to guilt and little action. The more specific you get in writing out an application, the more you're going to be led to do it. You want to be very specific when you read a verse to write it out in a practical, possible way. And then fourth, it ought to be provable or measurable. You know, how can you tell when you've done it? One of the ways you might want to do is make a timeline, you know, set a deadline. I need to do this by such and such date. And you can check up on yourself. If you don't have it provable, how do you know if you ever applied the Scripture? So set a deadline. Now let me just give you an example. How about Ecclesiastes 6:7? Anybody know that verse? It's a good verse if you want to use it for dieting. If you want to diet, get Ecclesiastes 6:7 and put it on your refrigerator. It says there, all the labor of man is for the mouth, and yet the appetite is never filled. Okay, that's a good, good verse. Now let's say I'm going to meditate on that verse, and I think about it, and I meditate, and then I want to write out an application. It needs to be personal, practical, possible, and provable. Okay, first thing, a personal application. I need to. I write that down. Okay, practical. I need to lose some weight. That's a practical application of that verse for me in my own life. I need to lose some weight. Possible. I need to lose 10 pounds. Okay, see, I'm not going to say, well, I need to lose 100 pounds or whatever. I'm going to set a possible goal. And then provable. I need to lose 10 pounds by the end of the month or whenever. See, I've set a deadline, and then I'm very, very specific, and that gets me away from all these broad generalities. Now, if you really want to be brave and have somebody check you on this last, tell a friend about your application. If you're married and you really want to be risky, tell your wife or your husband. And I guarantee you, they will do you the honor of checking up on you. See if you're applying the project that you've come up with. So write out an application. Write it out and be personal, practical, possible, and provable. Does everybody understand this? I think it's pretty much review. But I want to go over this because it's important you understand and apply Scripture. What do you do if you come on a verse that doesn't have any application to you? Let's say you're reading along and you come on a verse about death. You know, and you're not dying. You know, what do? You do one of two things. You always write it down. Number one, write the application down for future you. You will die someday. No. Write it down for future use. Or number two, see how you could use it to minister to somebody else. Now, it is amazing to me how that a lot of times I will have a verse in a quiet time that I think I have no use for, and by the end of the day, I've either used it in my own life or I've been able to use it to minister to somebody else. It is just phenomenal. You know, if I didn't believe in God, I'd say it's an amazing coincidence. But it's not. It is the leadership of the Holy Spirit to bring along key passages of Scripture at the right time that you can use in the future or to minister to other people. All right? So you write out an application. And then the last step is then to memorize. Memorize a key verse. You know, if you've meditated on a couple paragraphs, passage of Scripture, pick a verse that you'll memorize. Now, why? Excuse me. Because God is not going to just give you one application on a passage and then just drop it. You know, let's say I get up and have a quiet time one morning and I hit a verse like pride goeth before destruction or haughty spirit before fall. I write out a great application on how the Lord really needs to work on pride in my life and, you know, develop a spirit of humility. I get up the next day and I read a verse on anger. You know, and I write that down, you know, and then come up with an application. Next day I get up and I write down a verse on worry and all that. God will not just work on on that one area and then just drop it in 24 hours. If God's going to develop character in your life, it takes weeks, often months, years, to build a quality in your life that He wants to build. Well, the only way you can keep on working on it is if you've hid that word in your heart. So you need to memorize a verse that pertains to the application that you've got so that as you go through the day, God can bring up areas that He can work on. Let's say, going back to this, a soft answer turneth away wrath. All right? Let's say you're working on that. But you've memorized it. Then when you get an argument that day, the Lord can bring it to mind and it'll help you. So memorization is a key part of applying it to your life. It'll take time. It's a process of growth. Now, this has probably been pretty much review, but let me suggest to you a book that'll help you in this area. And that is the one by Jim Downing called Meditation, The Bible Tells Us How. I would suggest you get that book and read it because he has some great parallels in there with the tabernacle and different areas of the Old Testament in meditation. There's a man who saw his neighbor coming out of church on a Sunday morning. And the neighbor came out and he saw the man across the street. And the man across the street said, well, is the sermon done? And the man said, well, it's been preached, but it is yet to be done. And you see, we want to put God's word into action. You know, in the book of John, it said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And who's it talking about? Jesus. And where is Jesus? He's in you if you're a Christian. And God wants to make the Word flesh in your life. He wants the Word to be fleshed out. And God wants you to be walking Bibles. As I said before, remember in the devotional method and in all our methods, the goal is not to do something to the Word, but to let the Word do something to us. Now let me give you an assignment. Right? Pull out the other Bible study a form, the other devotional method. All right? The one that has the ways to meditate and application. I put those on there so that you can remember it when you're having a quiet time. Now, this is such a simple method. It's, you know, review for most of you because you are, you're key people. But, you know, it's good to go over these basic things because this is so foundational, just the application of Scripture, that it's important before we can get into any of these other methods. All right? Let's have as a little project for us this next week, to meditate and have a devotional method on John 14. So let me make some assignments to you. Where it says passages, let me, this chapter is a great chapter for this type of study, so we'll go right down. On Sunday, let's put down John 14, 1 to 4. John 14, 1 to 4. Now, I've already gone through this chapter and found out the best way to meditate on each of these passages, and so I want you to suggest that you put out next to the meditation the word picture. Picture. You might put in that parentheses. So when you go back and meditate on it, I'm just giving you a clue that that's probably the best way to meditate on that section of Scripture, is the picture method of meditation. John 14, 1 to 4. All right, on Monday, let's work together on John 14, 5 to 7. John 14, 5 to 7. And that section right there works excellent with the meditation method of pronouncing. So you might want to just put it in parentheses next to that, pronounce, so that you know you can go through that. Remember, that's emphasizing the different words, saying it through several times. All right, for Tuesday, let's work on John 14, 8 to 11. John 14, 8 to 11. And the meditation method that will work real good in that section of Scripture is probing it. And probing it, or remember those nine questions, the space pets, sin to confess, promise to claim, attitude to change. So probe that passage. Wednesday, let's work on John 14, 12 to 14. John 14, 12 to 14. And this works real good for personalizing. So let's personalize it. I picked this chapter because you can do every type of meditation, and it works real good. Personalize it. All right, Thursday, John 14, 15 to 18. John 14, 15 to 18. And that works real good for paraphrasing. So you might want to put paraphrase down for that. And you don't have to use my suggested thing. You know, if you want to, you use whatever you want to. But this is just to give you a little guideline getting started, if you haven't ever done anything like this before. All right, Friday, John 14, 19 to 21. 19 to 21. And that's a good section to pray on. So you might want to put there, pray it. That's where you write out a prayer based on that passage and just pray it back to God. All right, and then Saturday, John 14, 22 to 26. And that's another good section to probe, to use those nine different questions that you can use. Now, you notice here, I've just given you a couple verses on each day, and this is what you do like in a quiet time. The key in a quiet time is not to race through a bunch of Scripture. Just get a few verses and really dig into them. Don't try to set us... You know, I got on a trip for a while. I had this thing here in the back of my Bible. It's 13 weeks through the Bible. You know, where you read about 16 chapters a day and you know, like that. And I was going through, and I went through the Bible a couple times just trying to read through it. I didn't do it in 13 weeks, but reading through it as fast as I could. And, you know, pretty soon I just realized, man, really, Rick, why are you doing this? And I really discovered that I was doing it just so I could say, well, I've read through the Bible 18 times. And I really wasn't getting that much out of it. And finally, the Lord just convinced me that, man, it's more important that if you just take a few verses and live with those verses for 20 minutes and read them over and read them over and read them over and memorize them and tear them apart and meditate on them any way you can and write on a project, it's doing you a lot more good than trying to see how many times you can get through the Bible every year. Just so you can put another notch and say, well, I've read through the Bible 18 times. So, you can do that in short passages like that, or if you want an extended passage, say you pick a paragraph or a couple paragraphs, you can use this form. It's the same way you do it, it just gives you more space. If you want to take your own sheet and make a big 8.5 by 11, do it. Okay? Are there any questions? I think this is pretty basic. You can see how simple it is. Yeah. No, I don't. In fact, what I would suggest you do, I think two verses a week is about the best because it gives you time to review others. If you're just starting out, you can probably do a verse a day because there's lots of them you already sort of half know. But what I do, for instance, right here on the first day, I wanted to memorize the first three verses because they were all they're all good, you know. Okay, on the next day, I already knew John 14:6, you know, and I reviewed 14:1-3. Okay, Tuesday I reviewed 14:1-3. Wednesday, memorized that section because it was good, a couple promises. Okay, Thursday, John 14:15, you know, because it's easy to remember. And then reviewing all along. And then Friday I reviewed all the ones I'd done already. And then later came back to John 14:21. And, you know, it's just, you're not going to review, memorize every day, but you'll review. And so you can write down your review verse. Or what you might do is you might stick a verse there, write the reference. So then later if you want to come back and say, well, what are some good verses to memorize? You go back and look through your quiet time notes and say, hey, there was a verse I wanted to memorize. I just didn't have time to at the time. You have a question? Any questions? It's 10 o'clock. I think it's time that we go home. Real simple tonight. Come back tomorrow. Bring tools because we'll need to use reference tools in some of these other methods as we get into them. Thank you for being really attentive. I really appreciate it. I know we've covered a lot of sort of review material tonight, but it's important that we get this basic material down before we go into some of this more advanced material. Thanks, Max.